You're with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello. The situation at the southern border has deteriorated so badly during the Biden administration that for the first time, over 2 million immigration arrests were made in 11 months, reaching a new threshold. Instead of blaming their own lax policies vis-a-vis immigration for the problem, Biden's administration officials blamed governments in Latin America. The Washington Post reported, quote, failing communist regimes in Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba are driving a new wave of migration across the Western Hemisphere, including the recent increase in encounters at the Southwest U.S. border. Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Chris Magnus offered as an excuse, quote, those fleeing repressive regimes pose significant challenges for processing and removal. U.S. Customs and Border Protection detained 203,000 immigrants, or over that, just over that, who entered the United States from Mexico in August. If that rate of immigration continues, over 2.3 million arrests would have been made between the end of September 2021 and September 2022, the Post surmised. Biden administration officials cite the Trump administration's implementation of the Title 42 emergency public health policy for some of the problems, claiming that repeated attempts by some immigrants to cross the border came after they had been sent back to Mexico after their first attempts. Compared to the 8 years of the Obama presidency, the Biden administration comes off poorly regarding immigration. In the 20 months since Biden was inaugurated, Border Patrol has made over 3.5 million apprehensions of illegal immigrants, while 3.3 million apprehensions were made in the 8 fiscal years of Obama's term, as the Washington Examiner noted. A September New York Times Siena poll found that more respondents agreed with the Republican Party on illegal immigration than the Democratic Party by a margin of 51-37%. Well, I'm not an expert on immigration policies, and I do feel for the people trying to better their situation who are honestly looking for a new start in a more fruitful location. But from a layman's perspective, America cannot handle an out-of-control influx from every place that people are trying to get away from. America is already at a breaking point, and chaos is ruling the day. DeSantis sent only 50 migrants to Martha's Vineyard, and that provoked a national emergency level outcry from the left and people who champion open border policies the most, losing their minds. The immigrants lasted 44 hours on Martha's Vineyard, with the National Guard being called in to help transport them to an army base on Cape Cod, which simply outlines the point that realistic limitations need to be applied. It's not inhumane or racist to acknowledge as much. It's a matter of keeping the structure of the nations healthy so that people who do get the opportunity of becoming citizens have a real chance at creating a better life that they seek, while allowing the disenfranchised people born here to do the same. The conversation around this issue has evolved significantly, all on the back of what amounts to a symbolic move from DeSantis. What if he had sent 1,000 immigrants to the vineyard, or 2,000? Think of the national fallout then, and it was just 50 this time. The left absolutely freaked out and compared DeSantis to a Nazi. They seem to be doing that a lot lately, comparing anyone on the right to a Nazi, but God forbid you made that comparison with the draconian measures implemented with the COVID shots, where that comparison seemed much more appropriate in terms of the slippery slope we were on and perhaps still are. But I digress. As this story unfolds, the left's reaction to it reveals the hypocrisy of their stance, and more with each passing day. Even my own perspective of it has altered in the days since. It seemed unhinged to a degree when I first heard it, and Carrie Lake came out criticizing it, saying it felt like a joke or a bold move motivated by juvenile impulses or something to that effect, I'm paraphrasing, and that she wouldn't make symbolic moves, but instead change policy to make for a more functional system. But I wonder if she still feels that way, because the way to make change is to alter the conversation and expose the untenable realities of our current policies, which is what has clearly been done here. Think of how long it's taken us to alter the conversation around COVID and the dangerous injections, a conversation that is still moving painfully slow, but moving just the same. We have to be able to address the reality of these situations without ad hominem attacks and devastating swipes at the characters of those who wish to address this crisis realistically. As with boundaries in your personal life, borders in your national life are important. It's not hateful to have boundaries, and it's not hateful to have borders. It's just the reality of the situation of restoring a sovereign nation where dreams can be facilitated and the nefarious influences which move to cross those lines be contained and controlled. It has to be acknowledged that evil exists and that there are engines of chaos and death crossing into our nation there. Fentanyl, for instance, and human trafficking benefit greatly from an unregulated system. With our nation facing economic collapse, we have to protect ourselves from becoming a worse place than these people are trying to escape from. That is very much an ongoing threat, and like it or not, there are many people on the inside who would like to see that happen, because in a world of more chaos, they will benefit from more power. The corruptive voice of those dark influences urging them to virtue signal outside of the realities of the causes they promote. You can email me, josepharthur@tntradio.live. Do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website, submit your event details, and we'll get the word out on TNT Radio.
The news you want.
They cover the important story.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Mel K is back. It's Mel K Day on Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. Mel K is a devoted lover of truth, facts, history, God, and America. After graduating with honors from NYU, she spent 20 years in media, film, and investigative journalism in Hollywood before moving back to NYC to focus full-time on exposing truth, uncovering hidden history, and starting her podcast, The Excellent Mel K Show, to inform the public of the embedded forces geopolitically and within America that are hell-bent on a long-planned one-world government where life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness will be replaced with surveillance, compliance, conformity, and control. Dear Lord, no, I hope not, Mel K. I hope we can fight the good fight. How are you, my friend? What's going on?
I'm great. I miss you in between shows. I'm great. I am too. Just watching everything as it goes. And every single day, there's just so much coming out.
What's your take on it? Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with this I would love to hear your take on this immigration thing. Carrie Lake came out criticizing it the day it happened, but it's kind of unfolded, I think. Personally, well, I just displayed what I think of it. I wonder if you agree, disagree. What's your take on it?
Well, my take on it, first and foremost, is the question that they're saying, you know, I'm in New York City and I live right across from the archdiocese that is actually processing these people. And we've had lines of 200 people coming in. They're going to the Catholic charities and they're getting $500 food cards, free Medicaid. They're getting housing. They're getting applications for the few children I've seen to go to public schools in New York City, clothing, everything, while I see literally thousands of homeless American citizens everywhere getting no help. And it's getting worse. They're letting people out of jail. And New York City's in chaos, and yet they're prioritizing these people. And then to have all the liberals come out, especially Newsom and Mayor Adams, and say that he was trafficking people is really shocking. When I've seen flights come into White Plains and Queens and elsewhere, Westchester, filled to the brim for a year and a half. And I've seen them in New York City for months and months come in and all over New York. So it's really crazy that they're even saying that DeSantis is somehow trafficking them, first. Second, Florida voted not to be a sanctuary state. As did California, but I mean, as did Texas, but California and New York and Massachusetts all did. So again, if they want to be sanctuary states and again, get funding to be sanctuary states, then that is another argument, which is we're not a sanctuary state or city, but you are, and you have services for them. You're supposed to, at least. And then on top of that, you know, I see the dynamic, but it's the first time that we're actually watching people that live in areas that have a lot of wealth react. When I have many friends, you live in Arizona, I have many friends on the border, especially closer, mm-hmm. Laredo and other places, that have been inundated for now almost 2 years. And there's a lot of crime, a lot of drugs, a lot of sex trafficking. And, you know, it's really shocking that 50 people threw these people into chaos. And at the same time, they were acting like they didn't have housing and they didn't have jobs. And then a person that sent me some stuff, not only do they have like 500 Airbnb at listings, because it's off season. That's a seasonal place where only 10% of the people live there after Labor Day. But they also have lots of jobs there. So the whole argument is kind of crazy. What is even crazier is the illegals have gotten together and filed a class action lawsuit against DeSantis, saying that he misled them. But if you look at what a sanctuary state is, which is Massachusetts, they say that all illegals that get there are welcome and they will provide services. So it's a total bogus thing. But what do I do when I see that illegals or Black Lives Matter, Antifa, or people that want free housing or whatever file a lawsuit? I go to DuckDuckGo and I put in the lawyers. This is the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. And I put in George Soros. Bam. George Soros
you
is
go that
in
extra,
the lawsuit.
You I go do. That extra I mile. I listen, when I was reading that, I think I even sent you the article. I don't know if you got
you did.
The text. But
so that's when I looked at it and I said, this has to be Soros.
Oh my God. See, I'm glad I followed my instinct, because I was like, should I send this to Mel K? And I was like, yeah, why not? Because this is like a cool, I thought that was breaking sort of information. I just had seen
it
even after I wrote my editorial. But while I was reading it, I was like, oh, so a lawyer got to them, because that reads well for like the you know, sort of outraged left. Oh, even, you know, the immigrants or the migrants. I can't tell if it's immigrants or migrants. Some people say it's migrants, and then some people say it's illegals. It's not illegals. I don't really know where that lands. But regardless, they, you know, a lawyer obviously got to them. And that's just like a press thing, because DeSantis didn't really do anything illegal, like you said. I mean, it's like there's a sheriff who's
saying
he's
going to investigate.
Well,
Biden's been doing it for years.
Right. So, Biden's been doing it.
Right. And the other thing did you see any of the interviews where the illegals feel like they won the lottery for getting sent there?
Oh, yeah.
And then to see that.
Well, they did.
You know, we see
until they got.
Right. And we see a lawsuit filed, right? Immediately. Yeah. And I go and I look and it says the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. And because I do enough work on this, I pull it up. I go into Influence Watch. I look who funds Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights.
That's crazy.
The Open Society Foundation, created and funded by George Soros, created it.
Unbelievable.
In 2016. So then I look at what else they've done. They've represented Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And they're teamed up with the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Brothers. So that's who's suing DeSantis. Perfect move to keep the machine going to try to destroy him. And the truth is that whatever's going on here, the border states and border cities and border towns have had an unbelievable situation going on. And now D.C., New York City, and now Martha's Vineyard cry, you know, and call in the National Guard. But God forbid Abbott or DeSantis or Ducey or any of them on the border called in the National Guard. It would be like total, you know, they would go out of their minds. So
it was,
you know,
50
it's hypocrisy
people.
101.
I mean, there's 6,000, I think, coming in every day. Like it was 50 people. Yeah. He could have sent 1,000. You know, what if he had done that? What if he had sent 1,000 people? I mean, he sent 50. It's like, come on. And okay, maybe they were misled, but that's not really what from DeSantis. That's from the people at Martha's Vineyard calling the National Guard in and then getting them removed to a military base where I guess they're detained on a military base in Cape Cod. So in a way, yeah, they are screwed over, but that's not DeSantis's doing. DeSantis sent them to a really nice place in a sanctuary state.
Right. And the truth is, where they came from, they were homeless. because there's too much of an influx. So they didn't even have housing where they were, A. And B, these sanctuary cities and sanctuary states get federal money for that. And they allocate money towards that. So if you want these people to have housing and services, then one of these cities or states that claim to be an open border, open illegal immigration place is supposed to provide for that. That's what states' rights are about. And the states that Biden has been sending them to, California and Texas, and I would think that that's also about voting, don't have that. They don't allocate for it. It's not part of their state's laws. So, you know, I understand every side. And I understand what Carrie Lake, at first I thought, well, that's weird. But then I saw that
it was weird, right?
Yeah, I didn't even know what to make of it, because I do know that the people that he sent there they're overflowing. They have no housing left for these people. They are also trying to house the million. I heard last week, I did a show, 500,000 American citizens are homeless right now. 500,000.
Right. That's insane.
You know? Yeah, and our shelters in New York City are totally full, and they're kicking out American citizens to put in illegals into the shelters in New York City for effect. So, you know, at the end of the day, what are we doing? It all goes back to the root, which is the border should not be open. And you brought up a great point that they're coming, you know, from these countries, and then the Biden regime is blaming those countries. The truth is those countries have a very bad relationship in terms of the globalists that we're all fighting, taking the resources, putting in puppet governments. You know, the problems in those countries are not because of those countries. And we've been truly deceived about what is going on in some of these countries. These people are being placed in there that are corrupt, and they are giving the puppet masters and the you know, Davos crew and all them the natural resources of those countries in exchange for keeping those countries poor and in chaos and money laundering mechanisms. And, you know, the violence there is bad, but the violence in our inner cities is getting worse. I mean, more people are dying in our inner cities than in most war zones. So, I mean, it's just total chaos, like you said.
Yeah, it's chaos. And I've also heard, I think I just heard a report that in Venezuela, they're sending, you know, like criminals, they're like releasing people from prisons and sending them over here. So it is just like, there is, you know, some real strange going ons, you know. I mean, they could have buried DeSantis if they played 3D chess with it. If Obama came out and said, you know what, they sent 50 immigrants, you know, I got plenty of room.
I'm going to set up a tent.
I'm going to put them up in my place. You know what? We're not even there right now. Let them stay in.
Right.
I mean, if they would have pulled a move like that, like symbolically, like, and just really embraced them with open arms, they would have crushed DeSantis's move. But they did exactly the opposite. And the more they double down on trying to demonize him for this, the worse they look. It's like everything else that they do, it kind of backfires on them, because American people aren't stupid by and large. There's a lot of people that just buy into whatever narrative they feed, but most people see what's going on and can do simple math equations and go like, hey. And the other thing I like about it, and I agree, and I agreed with Carrie Lake to a degree, it felt a little weird and unhinged at first, but it's expanded the conversation here so dramatically that it can't be anything, in my view, but a good move for the state of our world right now. So let me go to a break. We'll be right back with Mel K after these words on TNT.
Christina Borgeson on TNT Radio.
3 months after being appointed CIA director in 2017, Mike Pompeo gave a speech in which he said, quote, "It's time to call out WikiLeaks for what it really is, a non-state hostile intelligence service often abetted by state actors in Russia." In January of this year, our intelligence community determined that Russian military intelligence, the GRU, had used WikiLeaks to release data of U.S. victims that the GRU had obtained through cyber operations against the Democratic National Committee. That's all Mike Pompeo talking here. Actually, even today, no proof of this particular allegation by Mr. Pompeo has ever seen the light of day. His characterization of WikiLeaks, which has always been a media organization whose work product was widely picked up and published in other major media outlets, is also inaccurate. Nonetheless, Pompeo and the U.S. intelligence community, aided and abetted by operatives in other nations, has led a ruthless, relentless international intelligence community operation to all but kill WikiLeaks editor-in-chief Julian Assange.
Christina Borgeson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of posts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor one online music service over another and one candidate over another.
Google and Facebook has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
There's no dispute. The jabs are not safe or effective. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we're back with Mel Kay. So why do you think that they don't care about America's homeless and they're motivated to bring in so many illegals or immigrants into our country? Is there like an underlying thing that this weakens the Constitution that they think they can get them to vote Democrat? Or what's the motive here? And why are they so careless about humanity of our own countrymen, in your view?
I think it's multi-layered. First and foremost, again, George Soros's Open Society functions in 209 countries with the same NGO message of no borders, Open Society, One World Government. That's part of it. No borders is is happening. First of all, what's happening at our border is happening in France and Germany. Almost all the Five Eye nations have a illegal immigration issue right now, all funded by the same people, basically the Open Society, the Catholic Church, and another handful of, globalist type led organizations all over the world, including the United Nations. People have to ask themselves why. Again, I fully believe that the global public-private partnership that's faced right now is Davos, but it's a pyramid of groups, including at the top the central banking cabal. It helps them too. Yes, they want new voters. Certainly, they want chaos. I believe that there is something going on between the U.S. government and the cartels, all the way back to the Bushes and the Sinaloa cartel and everything that happened with MENA, Arkansas, and the Clintons. You know, this is not new business. I've seen lots of stuff about Pelosi and other California politicians with El Chapo. You know, he gave a lot of info. And the cartels are a multi-billion dollar business worldwide. People don't get that. They still look at it because of Hollywood, like a bunch of, you know, gunslinging guys in the middle of Mexico. No, these people have skyscrapers in New York City and Mexico City and L.A. and whatever. They're billion-dollar corporations. And a lot of them are in cahoots. You know, there's a lot of billionaires that were connected with Epstein and BlackRock and all of that, that are Mexican nationals, that like Carlos Slim and a lot of others that also, you know, play a part probably in all of this. So there's that. As for what's going on in our country, I a long time ago, I was working with the man that unfortunately passed away, DJ Jaffe, on the mental health and homeless situation in New York. At least you were here. De Blasio and his wife started something called Thrive New York City for the homeless and mentally ill. $800 million were allocated of taxpayer money. This amazing man, he followed it. Not 1 cent went to help the homeless or mentally ill. What they were doing was they were signing up people into the program, literally going up to people on the street, getting their information, signing them up, and then putting it in as if these people were in the program. But enough people found out that nobody was really going into the program. And the people that were really going through, this is what I think it is. It's NGOs and all that. So what really happened to that money is that they team up with 501c3s and NGOs, mainly their friends, a lot of them very liberal, especially at least in New York, but all over the country, every inner city. And what they do is they give them contracts, and then they give other groups grants. And a lot of these are also Soros connected, and they give them all of this. Well, all of that money basically goes to the people that work at these NGOs and the contractors. Like here in New York, a lot of that money went to people that were supposed to build housing for these people. And what they were doing was they were building very expensive luxury housing and allocating like 5 apartments or something. And it was just such, it was, there was no therapy. People that needed help, especially mentally ill, they would get signed up. They would go in and fill out paperwork. They would go into a line, wait hours, be handed some medication, never to be seen again, which is even more dangerous. There's no right. mental hospitals. There's no beds for the mentally ill. There's no really no treatment. And our shelters in America, especially in the inner cities, are more dangerous than living on the streets most of the time, especially right. in New York. And yeah. I think it's a business. I think homelessness is
money
a business.
Laundering.
Look, yeah. And the money is going to, just like we talk about the Red Cross and UNICEF and all of these people, you go look at the salaries of the people running these charities as to how much is going out to help people. And then there's middlemen upon middlemen. And then there's another thing. They give out grants to write studies on how to do this. The money never goes to the people. There's so many easy solutions. This guy in a whole book came up with it. City Journal was really involved. Manhattan Institute. They all really tried. They had some hearings about it. De Blasio's wife sat up there acting like she knew nothing. Nobody involved in the project had any expertise in any of it. And, you know, now that we're at diversity, equity, inclusion, and out racism being, you know, called anti-racism, it's even worse. And that's where we are. I believe that just like health, illness, disease has become a business. Certainly mental health and homelessness is a major business. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, I knew my question was really naive. Like, why is chaos being supported in the world? And why don't more people care about, you know, the destruction of America from within America? But it feels like, you know, I don't know, man, as these narratives crumble, it feels like people will more and more wake up. You know, unfortunately, the media is in on it. And so is the entertainment business. And, you know, so the sort of the things
the
that celebrities
voices.
Champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. The things that celebrities champion are sort of all, you know, the appropriate things. And so like homelessness in America and caring about Americans is, you know, not high on that list, but I don't know. I mean, you have some personal experience with that. You've pulled yourself out of a situation like that, which is remarkable. I mean, so
yeah, I did.
I don't know.
I did. It was crazy. Yeah, I can't even believe it. But yeah, I did. And yeah. And I'll tell you, this is all true, because here's the other thing. There's so many hoops. There's so many levels. Like for me, I dealt with this. So one group, community access, because I needed, you know, I had my accident and then my rent's ridiculous and this and that. I really didn't want to ask for help. I had a job. I didn't want to leave, but I couldn't really hold on to that and do the treat. It was crazy. And it just was it could happen to anyone. And when I needed help, you know, it's hard to go and just admit it, but I had to do something. And, you know, first I went to my union and, you know, the wait list for housing for the Screen Actors Guild or Writers Guild or any of those entertainment guilds, which are really part of a bigger union, is like a joke. It's decades long. And, you know, and it's like I pay the same dues since 1995 that Julia Roberts pays. So it goes into the same pocket. So the union should have plenty of money when a writer or actor is down on their luck. But no, not so much. You know, you go, you fill out the paperwork and it's like, we'll see you. And I had a lot of friends over the years, actors, musicians, whatever, that went to their unions or, you know, when they were out of luck. I've never seen anyone get help. But what I had to do was I got a referral from my doctor to somebody else, because New York at the time had this program, and I was getting I was doing like a study to kind of help me get healthcare at the same time. And I'll tell you, they send you from one place to another. They make you fill out so much paperwork. I don't even think. And how about all these people that I have like a very good education and it's hard for me to navigate the system without right. an advocate or anything. There's no, it's almost impossible, like getting a grant, unless like that's all you do. It's impossible. But then right. when you get in, then you realize like, when I dealt with the shelter system in New York, personally, I will tell you, these shelters here, they have no drug and alcohol policy. They have, you can, you, it doesn't matter who you are. You leave the place at 8 a.m. As long as you're back by 10 p.m., nothing, fine. You know, these people that are there, they're not getting help. A lot of them are mentally ill. Most of them are drug addicts. And it's, there really is, it's so inhumane. And, it's way worse. I just talked to somebody who like did real hard time in jail and the stories are terrible, but you know, there's a lot of people, homeless people that would prefer to be in jail than some of these yeah. shelters. That's how dangerous they are. And then, you know, yeah. even getting in is nearly impossible. And, you know, I have so many homeless people right now in New York City, and they're here. And when I see them prioritizing illegals across the street in a long line and giving them stuff, and I have two friends that I've known for a long time, both are men, one in his 40s, one in his 60s. They've been homeless for a long time. They would never go to a New York City shelter. They don't want help. They don't want anything to do with the government. And I will tell you, they're both Donald Trump supporters, which is funny. They both are always funny. Like, hey, we need Trump back, you know, but one of them that's young that's and really funny. Talented, he's just mentally ill, but he's sitting there looking at me being like, are you seeing this? Like with all the, he's like, if they gave yeah. me, because both of these men during COVID were put into the YMCA. And put up for 3 months, and one of them got much better, and the other one, you know, he's elderly with some problems, he got better, and then they kicked him out one day. Well, and now what? Nothing. And so it's like you saw what a little bit could do, and then they pulled yeah. out the rug from these people again. So, you know, it's just, it's hard, but the truth is, it's what you're saying, order out of chaos. It's like the satanic Aleister Crowley model. And then the other thing yeah. is, you know, they want to put this great reset. They want to enter transhumanism, true. Which I do want to mention in a minute. I feel, because it's important.
We do. Let me go to headlines. We'll come right back and we'll talk about transhumanism with Mel K after the headlines on TNT.
Matt Boylan here with a look at your TNT headlines. Australia's most populous state is set to introduce new laws making it impossible for convicted killers to be released on parole if they refuse to reveal the location of their victims' bodies. Four breakaway regions in Ukraine's east will hold referendums on whether to formally join Russia in the coming days, and Hurricane Fiona has intensified into a Category 3 storm and could reach Category 4 status after leaving behind a trail of destruction in Puerto Rico.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
I'm Joseph Arthur here with Mel K, and we're veering from immigration to transhumanism. Take it away, Mel. What's on your radar?
Okay, well, last time we talked about the central bank digital currency executive order that nobody was really talking about, got out there a little. I don't think the American people or the public really understand that that is the Chinese track and trace, a social credit score being introduced by the Biden regime via executive order, which should never be happening in America. But this is how they run the show right now in this oligarchy run country. But I wanted to know, did you hear about the executive order on September 12th about biotechnology?
I did hear about it, but remind me.
Okay. So everyone needs to really understand the World Economic Forum, the UN, Agenda 2030, Fourth Industrial Revolution. None of that is a conspiracy theory. It's all on World Health Organization, World Economic Forum, UN's websites. They're very open about it. Klaus Schwab wrote the COVID-19 book. He also wrote a book called The Fourth Industrial Revolution, along with Kissinger and AI, and I believe running our Department of Defense expert, Eric Schmidt. And Kissinger also wrote a post-human world book recently. Well, Joe Biden on the 12th of September, with zero media covering it, zero media, had a press conference called Cancer Moonshot Press Conference, where he announced something called the Executive Order on Advancing Biotechnology and Biomanufacturing Innovation for Sustainable, Safe, and Secure American Bioeconomy. Now, it sounds like, I guess we're going to do cure something
cancer,
here.
But basically, is it mRNA to cure cancer kind of thing?
Yes, it is. You guessed it.
And that's when Biden told the cancer patient not to jump off the balcony or something like that. Don't jump.
Right.
something like that.
Well, yeah, it's crazy. Let me just read to you what it says in this first part. Okay. And then think about everything that you and I have learned and exposed about the COVID and the jab and the mRNA. So this, he comes out and announces this, right? And to all kinds of fanfare of his own crew. And of course, he didn't write it. So it says, for biotechnology and biomanufacturing to help us achieve societal goals, like society has a say, right? The United States needs to invest in foundational scientific capabilities. We need to develop genetic engineering technologies and techniques to be able to write circuitry for cells and predictively program biology in a way in which we write software and programs for computers. Unlock the power of biological data, including through computer tools and artificial intelligence, and advance the science of scale-up production while reducing the obstacles for commercialization so that innovation technologies and products can reach market and humans faster.
Crazy.
So
playing God, are we playing God?
Yes. So you know,
we need to basically we need to update your cells with our technology. I mean, who on earth thinks this is a good idea? I would like to meet that
and
person.
And then the government
and then
running
look them in the eye and go, "Really? You think this is a good idea? Really? You're going to sign up for this? It sounds nightmarish. This is crazy."
Yeah, and then again, it's all the same people involved in the COVID, Moderna, Pfizer, BioNTech, okay? And even crazier, Joe Biden made a speech at the World Economic Forum, where he was very involved for 25 years. Joe Biden made a speech at the World Economic Forum in 2016 called Cancer Moonshot.
Right.
So it's the same exact thing.
What a weird
and
name.
And what's...
Moonshot.
I know. Well,
very strange.
I know, but I know. And then it's almost word for word. So anyway, then he picks the woman that he wants to run it. And the woman works for this company, Ginkgo BioNTech, okay? Which is a partner of the World Economic Forum and is funded by the World Economic Forum and their private public partners, and a leading company on they say that they create organisms. So, and that's the woman at that company. Her name is Ginkgo Bioworks, World Economic Forum. So what the company's logo is biology by design. Biology is the most advanced manufacturing technology on the planet. We program cells to make everything from food to material to therapeutics to organisms. Yeah. So the person running this program, and then on top of that, for anyone that gets it, we all know about DARPA and, you know, what they've done over time. Well, they've created a new agency, HARPA, the Health Advanced Research Project Agency.
Jeez.
And it's all tied in with Inkytel, CIA. Right. Exactly.
It's basically the same thing. Yeah. I mean, this is just, you know, the most alarming thing about this is that they suggest it. And that, I guess you're saying there was an executive order having it passed. I mean, the most surprising and shocking thing is that they're trying to pull this off, off of the 3 years we've just had. I mean, that part, and who are they going to get? Because the reason that's the most shocking is because From my view, to get anyone to participate in this, you'd have to force them into it.
Well, yeah. And guess who's running it? The NIH. So that means Dr. Fauci and all the same people that ran it. So if you don't think that that's going to happen, and people that are covering it are saying that you know, that this whole thing, it ties together the whole bioengineering, Pfizer, Moderna, this Ginkgo Bioworks, the woman from that's running it. Another person from it is from InQtel. And then Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum are part of this entire thing, too, and Alphabet. And the craziest thing is that if you go to the World Economic Forum and you look at their stuff on shaping the future of health and healthcare, that section in the World Economic Forum, it's almost exactly the same wording as this bill, or it's a bill, it's an executive order. So it's like, where is it coming from? And then when you look at like Klaus Schwab saying people will soon wear brain implants, and you see Harari, the head scientist of the World Economic Forum, saying surveillance is going under the skin.
Oh, yeah.
What exactly are we dealing with here?
I heard him say that. Well, lunacy. I mean, here's the thing. You could see how people were manipulated to take this COVID injection. You know, there was this tremendous fear campaign. It was unlike anything we sort of have experienced collectively. Masks, all of it, the whole rollout. We don't need to reiterate the whole thing. You could see the setup was done flawlessly to really get people to take the first two jabs without using their better judgment, right? Mm-hmm. You could see how that happened. But at this point, trust in all these characters you've mentioned is so unbelievably low. Then you have, you know, truth news organizations such as TNT and all other alternative sources that are really popping up and popping off. And then you have a whole legion of freedom fighters. And then you have the people that would be sort of vulnerable to this, have a lot of them have woken up. And they remember the last few years as a nightmare, these people in their faces demanding they take injections and stuff. I mean, those people are in post-traumatic stress disorder as well. So I don't understand how they think they're going to pull this off. Let me go to a break. We'll be right back to talk more about this with Mel Kay after these words on TNT.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Whether it be the firm resolve expressed in his inaugural address or his patriotic playfulness with a Pack to the Rafters rally in Youngstown, Ohio over the weekend, Democrats consistently double down on duplicity, characterizing everything that President Trump says as dark and divisive. Meanwhile, Pedo Pete gives a truly dark and divisive speech at Independence Hall in Philadelphia, and they think that's just fine and dandy. That's because every day is opposite day to a Democrat. Up is down, left is right, and right is wrong. Well, Americans need to start being concerned about the dog whistle to violence that President Biden has taken to issuing. Tommy Lahren ran into it yesterday at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque as violent leftists attempted to shut down her free speech. And most tragically, a 41-year-old drunk Democrat driver has admitted to intentionally running over and killing a Republican teenager in North Dakota because he didn't like the young man's politics. This must end. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Governments around the world are wasting billions of dollars in carbon capture and storage. Such programs are futile and opposite the benefit of enhanced photosynthesis for a greener world and improved crop yields. In November 2021, US President Joe Biden approved the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, which allocated $12.2 billion over 5 years for carbon capture, utilization, and storage, the single largest appropriation of money for the technology in history. Other nations and many of the largest multinational corporations support this folly. Much of the funding goes to geosequestration, which requires vast amounts of energy to pump carbon dioxide deep underground into geological formations. The enormous costs have no benefit, and there's no guarantee the gas won't leak out over time with seismic events. Likewise, carbon stored in forestry projects can go up in smoke in a bushfire.
The climate change lunatics in government and at the WEF will make meat, cheese, milk, and chocolate heavily taxed luxury items to save the planet. Just like private jets, the rich will indulge in whatever they want, while the poor are left with nothing. Remind me how the French Revolution ended again, when the poor had nothing?
lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
And we're back with Mel K. So on this transhumanism agenda, where do you think it's heading? I mean, do you think it's something resistance will occur?
I think resistance will occur. I have to be honest. I see it all over. And, you know, you were saying before about the people, you know, Hollywood and the media and these puppet masters, World Economic Forum, the fact checkers, which are funded by the same billionaires and trillionaires that have usurped our entire government. They're telling us what the majority is. But I've been in 22 states because that's what I do now. Instead of being in New York City, I go to speak wherever anyone will have me. And the majority out there, whether they're left, right, center, Republican, Democrat, everyone knows something is very wrong, that this is no longer a country for the people, by the people. You know, people might on the left especially might say, oh, the election wasn't stolen, but they still know in their hearts that our election system is fraudulent from top to bottom,
right,
in many different ways and has been for decades. On top of that, people are pretty clear that the corporations and the banks control the government with lobbyists and all that. I just think people
let me interject on that. People knowing that the elections are corrupt, even people that, you know, think he won, you know, you have Mark, what's his name, Zuckerberg on Rogan talking about the FBI getting in his ear about suppressing Hunter Biden. Yeah. So that's corruption right there on the face of it, admitted. So people have losing trust. So keep going.
Big time. And they don't want this. Most people even see a lot. I think a big thing is happening on this past weekend. I was with General Flynn and Eric Trump and a lot of great people at the Reawaken America tour in Washington State, of all places. It was sold out. 5,200 people came and it was awesome. I happened to speak at the exact same time that Donald Trump's on a sold out stage of 50,000 plus people in Ohio. Same time, Steve Bannon and Charlie Kirk are in Arizona at a sold out and the Great Reset group. If you put all those people together and then all of the live streams, we're talking about millions and millions of people that are looking at the puppet masters and know who they are, can call them out and say, who told Bill Gates or George Soros or Larry Fink or any of these people that they are somehow superior to us? Nobody voted for them. And why are elected officials allowing this? So I think that there's a mass awakening. And the good news is that some of the Democrats that aren't diehard are starting to really look around and say, you know, I used to be a Democrat, but I don't agree with, you know, what's going on in our schools. I don't agree with CRT. I don't agree with open borders. I don't agree with this. And that's really a problem. But also on the right, people are looking at the people that are career politicians and saying, you're doing nothing. So, you know, there's a real middle. I know that these lunatics say, like, oh, the Christian nationalist or the populist movement. No, it's really just people that love God and country and America and think our borders, language, right, and culture and our history matter. And that's it. So right now, either you don't know what's going on, you're for the globalist agenda, or you love America, God, country, your children and your children's children, and want freedom, liberty, and the ability to live the life you choose with the government not interfering. You know, I mean, that's where we are.
And, you know, like on that point, there's that, you know, that photo of the teacher with the huge prosthetic breasts, you know, that are just like, it's like crazy. It's like, you know, and there's people arguing that that's okay. And it's just like,
oh my God,
this has nothing to do with tolerance or anything. That's just inappropriate. That, like, somebody, I forget who, but somebody was like, so tell me why this is inappropriate. It's like,
oh, because come on.
those giant prosthetic breasts are made for sexual play between consenting adults. Like, where's the line? You know, like, if that's not the line, then where's the line? That's just like ridiculous. It has nothing to do with identity or anything like that. That's just inappropriate to be wearing around children teaching school. It's just like, it's obvious that you don't have to be some diehard Christian or some kind of like religious zealot or, you know, some intolerant fool to notice that. It's like, and I gotta think most people, you know, yeah.
Imagine when we were in school, that person would have been involuntarily committed. You know, that's how far we've come. and never allowed to teach around children. So, right. You know, it's like, but it's also with that Leah Thomas, you know, okay. He was 483 in the NCAA swimming as a boy, and he's number one as a girl, and people are saying that's okay. I think just yesterday they had a thing where, you know, in our business, the lead of Chicago, the musical, is a transgender. I mean, like, at what point, like, that's a women's, that's, you know, what are you doing? It's just, we're crossing the line in so many ways that it's like they don't want any straight men or women, you know, having anything that's special. They just want, you know, and it's not that, this is the same thing with anti-racist. It's that these people are getting special treatment. They're not getting equality. It's not equality. Yeah. You know, to put out an audition and say, we're looking for a transgender person for this role.
Well, in the arts, I might push back. I might push back on that one because that's you know, Shakespeare used to do that. It used to be just men playing the parts of women and stuff. So I don't know. Who knows about that? But
yeah,
like those
I mean,
giant
maybe, but all I'm
breath,
saying is, yeah, but there's only so many roles for women. I'm talking in that case right. More about women.
Well, that's true.
You know, there's only so many roles for women. There's only so many places on a swim team for girls. You know, there's only so many. If you achieve that level and there's only so many slots, you know, that's where I fit in on that. I understand what you're saying about Shakespeare and playing a role. But all I'm saying is there's only so many roles for so many actors or actresses. There's only so many, you know, spots for athletes. There's only so many
The bottom line is there's obviously a strange agenda afoot that people are waking up, and that the majority of Americans were not as divided as you would think. I mean, I like that about you, too. You don't really you say it doesn't matter if they're left or right. It's the right person for the job. And I think that's kind of where we need to go, because they want to divide us, obviously. The agenda working against humanity prevailing is really into this left-right divide. So the more we squash that on both sides, I think people who lean right should kind of like let go of that identity a little bit as well. I think that's, or you do you, but you know, I personally feel that call to just like let go of these identities, because they're kind of false narratives that are pulling the world apart. You know?
Yeah. I mean, definitely for me, I think it's also that's 100% true. And, you know, it was really under Obama, but the push of, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion is really a road to socialism. Diversity shouldn't be our strength. We can disagree on a lot of stuff and be very diverse, but we can agree on a lot of stuff and find middle ground on the stuff we agree on, which is usually, you know, do unto others, you know, let people live and let live, you know, just don't break laws, don't steal people's property, don't, you know, kill people or interfere in somebody else's life. You know, the government was never meant to be telling us what to do. There's so many laws and stuff. I learned a new thing, kakistocracy, K-A-K-I-S-T, I think A-C-R-Y. A guy wrote a whole book about it. It's pretty shocking, but it's called, because there's a lot of different kinds of ruling. Kleptocracy, a lot of people think, oligarchy, whatever. This is kakistocracy. It's ruled by the worst, by the most unscrupulous, easily manipulated people that will lie, cheat, steal, kill, do whatever they have to do to stay in power. And, you know, we don't want that here. What we actually want are people that, you know, go into government, do civic duty for their country and their children and the future, and then leave. We really have a lot of things to do. I think there's a lot of solutions on the other side. I do have a positive feeling that a lot of this stuff is being overplayed at the same
they're
time.
They're overplaying it. That's the thesis of our interview. I feel like they're overplaying it. And I think the more they overplay it, the more it works in our favor. You know, I really
do.
So it, in a way, it's like keep overplaying it, because there's no way you're going to get the majority to go along with some of this stuff. It's just so absurd on the face of it. It's like, you know, it's ridiculous. So We got about 2 minutes left. I'm really interested to come hear you speak sometime live. Are you, do you have any other dates that you want to push out there?
Well,
right
I
now?
Am speaking. We're going to try to make it out because we want to come see you live too. So hopefully you'll be touring as well. I am going the first weekend in October. I'll be speaking at AmpFest at the Trump Doral in Miami. Then I am speaking on the 22nd and 23rd of October in Pennsylvania. And I am speaking at Branson the 3rd and 4th of November. You can go to the MelKayShow.com to events page. We have lots of really fun events. I also am willing to go speak anywhere that people want to talk about, you know, anything having to do with what I believe the Great Reset or the public-private partnership or I talk a lot about the Constitution. I talk a lot about the fraud that is the United Nations. So I like to go speak to patriots wherever I can find them. So that's something I love doing. And on top of that, you know, everyone can find me at the Mel Kay Show. com, and our big platform is Rumble, but we are building other we have BitChute and CloudHub and Frank Speech, and then also Truth Social and Getter and Gab. So please follow me.
Right.
I like to do a lot of stuff with the people. I probably met and shook hands and took pictures with over 1,000 people this weekend, and there's nothing more fun than meeting patriots. And there were a lot of independents there, and there were some people that were like, I used to be a Democrat. I don't know what I am now. So that's really all great. Right. I'm seeing a lot of that, and that's where
we gotta go, Mel
right Kay. Thank you, sir.
Gotta go. Much love. Thank you for coming on. Always a pleasure. And someday I'm going to come out to one of your shows and play some music in front of it. I'm going to open up for you, do a couple jams. We'll see you real soon. Keep listening, everybody, to TNT Radio. We'll be right back after this.